going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That's right. We're almost to the weekend, Thursday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon. Yeah, cloudy skies this afternoon. If you're going to Jazz Fest, I can't think of anything nicer than cloudy skies. As beautiful as Jazz Fest is when the skies are clear, you know, that sun can be brutal this time of year. And, you know, you can get sunburned. You can just be too hot. And it's going to be very, very hot this weekend. So if you're going to Jazz Fest today, you will enjoy the breeze, this nice breeze, and cloudy skies. So we'll talk a little bit about Jazz Fest today, very exciting time of year. Also, the Zurich Classic opens up today, and I'm sure the wind is going to play hell with the golfers because, you know, you can hit a perfect shot, and that wind can take it in a different direction. So anyway, a lot going on at the Zurich Classic, and, you know, that's really one of those really nice bougie events to go to here in the New Orleans area. Not everybody goes, but those who go love it. And look, we've got some great, great golfers who are going to be there. So an exciting time for the Zurich Classic. So that's really cool. Hey, I'm concerned about this shoulder injury that Derek Carr apparently has. You know, I can't imagine the Saints ever having a player with a shoulder injury that goes on to do well. Well, actually, that was Drew Brees. Drew Brees had a shoulder injury, and Miami didn't want him, and we took him, and look what happened. But Derek Carr is no Drew Brees. And, I'm a little concerned about this. Mickey Loomis says he wants a resolution and clarity when it comes to Derek Carr. If Derek Carr is gone, I'm thrilled. I'm happy. He's not the future. And so let's move on to the future. And I really want the Saints to pick a quarterback in the draft, early in the draft. And I know you got to go for the best players. I get all of that. But if they draft a good quarterback early in the rounds, it seems that that's the Saints' way of saying, hey, you know, we're looking for a quarterback. And they are looking for a quarterback. They're going to need a quarterback. Is Spencer Rattler going to have a chance? Yeah, he's going to have a chance. And he could show us a lot. He didn't have a chance to show us much because so many of the players were out. And when you don't have top receivers and you're a quarterback, well, you know, you're not going to do that well. So I think the verdict is still out on Spencer Rattler, and I think he can still do a really good job with the Saints. And I like the fact that he runs. Look, the league has changed, and I think quarterbacks need to run. And quarterbacks that don't run are at a severe disadvantage in the NFL today, and you can't change it. You know, there was a time when the NFL was a running league, and then the pass started to become popular. And then there was more passing and more passing. And now the league is sort of dominated in a lot of ways by passing. So it's a pass run game. So the NFL changed. And teams that wanted to keep running the ball, well, they were going to be left behind. You had to adapt to the new trends in the NFL. And I think the Saints are going to have to adapt to this idea that you need a running quarterback. And we have not had a running quarterback. I mean, maybe the last best running quarterback we had was Archie Manning, you know, because Archie Manning could run the ball. So, I don't know. I'm a little concerned about Derek Carr. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, and I may be wrong here, but didn't Derek Carr just, like, leave New Orleans after the season? I don't see Derek Carr investing in this city whatsoever. I may be wrong, but do you see signs of Derek Carr really caring about our city? I don't. And again, if you know something that I don't know, I mean, I haven't seen it in the media, and I don't get a buzz about Derek Carr caring about New Orleans. And when you're the quarterback, you know, you kind of have to show some love for New Orleans if you want to be, you know, loved and respected. Now, I guess there are Saints fans who would love and respect a quarterback who got him to the Super Bowl who didn't care about New Orleans, but I think it's important to care about the city. And I don't have a sense that Derek Carr cares about New Orleans. Again, if I'm wrong on this, if you've got some information that I don't have, I'd love to hear from you. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We'll talk a little bit about politics today. Trump's approval rating on the economy has dropped to 37%. Now, remember, Donald Trump ran on the promise to improve the economy. This was going to change day one. Well, it didn't change day one, and I knew it wasn't going to change day one. I hope you knew that, too. I hope nobody voted for Donald Trump thinking that inflation was going to go away on day one, because we warned about this before the election, that no president has the power to make inflation go away on day one. But it's because of the tariff wars. It's because of a couple of different things that have caused President Trump's approval rating on the economy to drop to 37%. And by the way, have you noticed Elon Musk is not around as much as he once was? In fact, I haven't seen him recently. Have you? Now, I know he's got serious problems with Tesla. I mean, Tesla is tanking. I mean, not only does the Cybertruck look like a tank, but that's representative of what's happening to Tesla right now. It's tanking. And it's tanking because people didn't like that. A lot of people, including Republicans, did not like that Elon Musk had apparently so much power. He was essentially like co-president. I mean, not even vice president, like co-president. You don't hear from the vice president, but we heard a lot from Elon Musk. And he was in the White House, I mean, in the Oval Office. Well, that's the White House. In the Oval Office, right next to Donald Trump, making a lot of calls. And a lot of people were not happy with that. So Elon Musk is not around like he once was. And I knew this day had to come, because you knew that the day had to come when Donald Trump was not happy with Elon Musk getting so much attention. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that on the show. But, you know, if we don't have to get too deeply into politics, I'm happy with that. There is also a new poll that shows that when it comes to all demographics, Donald Trump is below 50%, including a 45-point deficit with Hispanics. Hispanics, who apparently loved him before the election, according to new polls, they're not as happy as they were before. Hey, what about this story about Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth? Now, you know, he was a TV pretty boy on Fox News before he became Secretary of Defense. And now there is a story out that he has a makeup studio at the Pentagon to make him up and make him look real pretty and everything. Apparently, this was something that happened with in-house construction crews renovating an adjacent green room that had been there. There's minimal furniture. There's a table with chairs, a TV. There is a big mirror. And it's basically a makeup studio. The modifications have reportedly cost $40,000, but were scaled back. This is according to a CBS News report. $40,000, and I guess somebody got word of it, going, hey, whoa, Pete, man, calm down on this this makeup studio. Now, Pete Hegseth says it's totally false. So somebody's lying. Either Pete Hegseth is lying, or CBS is lying. And in the world that we live in, I guess you just pick and choose who you're going to believe. Also today, we need to talk a little bit about how Donald Trump is still so infatuated with Joe Biden. Man, some people think I mention Trump a lot. Have you noticed how much Donald Trump mentions Joe Biden? Joe Biden is living in Donald Trump's head. But here's the deal. When things are not that great for you, if you keep bringing up the person who was worse than you, then it makes you look better. So with Donald Trump being down in the ratings, I mean, this really is smart in a lot of ways. It's smart to bring up the one who was just really, in the minds of many Americans, just pathetic. So bring up Joe Biden, and it makes me, Donald Trump, look better. So it's kind of interesting, but apparently Joe Biden is living in Donald Trump's head. I really want to talk this afternoon about something we didn't get to yesterday, but I wanted to talk about it. The idea that parents should be arrested and thrown in jail when their kids commit crimes. I posted a video on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and Scoot on the Air Instagram. You can comment on that. I will read some of the comments on the show this afternoon. It is apparently constitutional to hold parents accountable for the behavior of their children. St. John the Baptist Parish Sheriff Mike Traig says that arresting parents might be a good idea, and this comes after a 15-year-old was arrested for the shooting at a La Place Waffle House. A 15-year-old arrested for a shooting at a Waffle House. First of all, what's a 15-year-old doing with a gun? Secondly, what's a 15-year-old doing going and shooting people, trying to shoot people? I have been 15 as long as anybody in the world has been 15. I was 15 for an entire year. So were you. So you and I have experience being 15. It's not like we don't know what we're talking about. Now, I know that everybody's life is different, but still, I know what it's like to be 15. I can't imagine that this happens, but it does. And I think the problem is parents bring children into the world that they have no intent of raising. They don't give a damn about their kids. Now, look, there are exceptions. There are some parents who love their kids, and they hate that their kids have gotten caught up in the wrong crowd. And this crowd has these peers have led their kids in the wrong direction. But I still believe that if you give your kids a good foundation of teaching them right from wrong, of teaching them consequences for negative behavior, I think you've got a really good chance of your teenagers coming out okay and rejecting some of the temptation that many teenagers accept. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, I'd love to talk to you about this. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. A lot of people are against this. They have empathy for the parents. What if the parents have other kids? What happens to the other kids? What if it's a single parent household? Look, I get all of those arguments, but at some point, if it is constitutional, why can't we start holding parents accountable? I think it's going to be a long time before the message actually gets out there, but at some point, the message needs to be out there. If you don't raise your kids, you are responsible. And if you're not going to raise kids, then don't have kids. You don't have to have children. You can have protected sex. Now, there are accidents that happen, even with safe sex. I understand that. But if you have one child because of an accident, don't have four more. Do the best you can to take care of the one you have and be a parent. Again, I think it may take a couple of generations for the word to really be entrenched in society that if you're a parent and your kids misbehave, you could go to jail. Now, you can't control 13, 14, 15-year-olds, but you can start at the very beginning of their lives, training them, teaching them right from wrong, and teaching them and following through on the idea that there are consequences for negative behavior. I'm Scoot. You've got a comment. The Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Jazz Fest, Draft Fest.
Draft, yeah. It's all happening.
This is exciting. WWL does such a great job. Our guys do such a great job with draft coverage. And it's so exciting. I mean, even though there are big gaps between the selections, I mean, I find myself listening to the station going, okay, well, all right, I know we got to wait, but there's another one coming. And then it's, the Saints are on the clock.
Yeah. I love the programs that we're doing during the draft because everybody's in. I mean, there's a lot to love about it, but one thing that kind of spins my bow tie in particular is that it's everybody. It's Deuce, and it's Mike Haas, and it's Bobby, and it's Detilier, and it's Steve Geller, and Jeff Nowak, and Charlie. The whole gang is here, and the people are going to be speaking to all the Saints top brass. We're going to have Kellen Moore on later. I mean, this is an event.
Well, the other thing that I love about this, Ian, is this is the very beginning of the Saints' new season. This is the very beginning of the 2025 season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still a ways away from the first playoff game. We're still a little bit away from training camp, but this is the very beginning. This is when it really starts to ramp up from this point on, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we're in the room where it happens.
All right. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We'll get to some of your early texts and we'll get to your calls coming up. All right. Jazz Fest is happening. And look, going on stage at 1:30. In fact, he's going to go on stage in about 7 minutes. Rockin' Doopsie Jr. and the Zydeco Twisters. Rockin' Doopsie with that washboard stomach that he's got. I bet he's got a washboard stomach under that, too. I bet he does.
I think he's not playing it.
No, he's not playing it, but
well,
he's got a washboard under there. Anyway, I love Rockin' Doopsie, and he's a big fan of our show, and I do appreciate that. So, yeah, Jazz Fest happening. If you're heading in that direction, Rockin' Doopsie about to hit the stage. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Why should we not hold parents accountable and even throw parents in jail if their kids commit crimes? Their juveniles commit crimes. They're responsible for their juveniles' behavior. They're responsible for their kids. Why shouldn't we start throwing parents in jail? Why don't we do it in New Orleans? Why don't we do it everywhere? There's talk about this from St. John the Baptist Parish Sheriff Mike Traeg. In the aftermath of a 15-year-old getting arrested for a shooting at the Waffle House in La Place, he's talking about putting parents in jail. Why not? What's the argument against holding parents accountable for the criminal behavior of their children? And I say children. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. It's Thursday, beginning of Jazz Fest, beginning of the Zurich Classic, and we're getting really close to the weekend. It's going to be hot AF, but no rain. In fact, just a lot of rain today, man. If you're in Baton Rouge, 5 inches of rain over a short period of time in Baton Rouge, flooding there. Lafayette, a lot of cars were underwater. 6 inches of rain in downtown Lafayette over a short period of time. But that storm is kind of breaking up, and we might have some scattered showers around here this afternoon, but nothing like they experienced just to the west of us. Also, as far as I know, there's still a boil water advisory in effect for parts of St. Bernard Parish, so be listening for an update on that. All right, let's go to Slidell. Eric, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, Scoot?
Hey, Eric.
Hey, I wanted to make a couple comments about the Saints.
Okay.
Eric Carr. Yeah, you mentioned earlier about running quarterbacks at the Saints. You said Archie. Aaron Brooks was the last running quarterback.
I wasn't here. I was in other cities during that time, so I missed that. So, okay, I may have been mistaken there. Yeah, just because I wasn't here. And I followed the Saints, but I didn't follow, just all the details of the Saints like I do when I'm here. So, yeah, I guess I made a mistake on that.
Yeah, and on the whole Derek Carr thing, yeah. Yeah, man, it's like the Super Bowl was here, right? And, you see other players around doing things, DeMario, Cam, Tyron, Alvin Kamara doing things with the community, doing things. Super Bowl, I didn't see Derek Carr nowhere.
Yeah, I don't think he really – I don't get the impression that Derek Carr gives a damn about New Orleans.
Yeah, he does. We don't give a damn about him either. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but
All right, Eric, are you optimistic? I mean, are you feeling good? We've got a new coach, and there, apparently you're going to be a new direction. Are you feeling positive?
I'm feeling positive about the coaching change and, you know, the hopes of a new quarterback. But Mickey, I'm still on the fence about Mickey. He's still in charge of the draft.
Yeah.
He hadn't had any good luck over the past few years, so I'm not optimistic about Mickey making these picks.
Well, let's hope that Mickey Loomis gives Kellen Moore a lot of power when it comes to making some selections in the draft and making selections with the team. You know, this sometimes the smartest thing a person can do, smartest thing an executive can do, is realize that somebody can do it better and turn it over to them, because the executive ultimately gets the credit if the team wins. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not on the inside, but we all get the impression that and Mickey Loomis, you know, did a great job with the Saints for a period of time. But there have been a lot of bad seasons. And I remind you that there were seasons with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, and the Saints were 7-9 for a couple of years in a row. That ain't good. So everything with Sean Payton, Drew Brees, was not magic. And so, you know, what happened? So, again, Mickey Loomis is the ultimate leader of the team. Let's see where the team goes this year. Let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, you can't control 13, 14, and 15-year-olds. My question is, if you're their parent, why can't you control them?
Well, my point there is you can control them, but when a kid gets to be 13, 14, and 15, if you have not disciplined them, if you have not taught them right from wrong, if you have not taught them that there are consequences for negative behavior, they're out of control. And I'm not sure that you can suddenly gain control over a 13-year-old. That's why it has to start at birth. Now, I realize that babies come from a very pleasurable activity, sex. But a lot of people have sex and they don't think about the kids, or they don't really think about raising the children. Now, a lot of young mothers, really young mothers, you know, love their babies and they care about them, but are they really capable of being parents? You know, everybody who's a parent has struggled, because there's no, you know, I mean, there's a lot of books out there, but there's no handbook for everybody to use that tells you how to be the perfect parent, because every situation is different. But you at least have to try. And it seems like there are far too many parents that don't even try from the very beginning to teach their kids right from wrong. And you do that with setting up consequences for negative behavior. And so what I mean when I say you can't control 13, 14, and 15-year-olds, if you have not taught them right from wrong up to that point, I think they're too far gone. And it's going to be up to the police and society to teach them what you should have taught them. And that's why I think it's a good idea to start this process of throwing parents in jail if their kids commit criminal acts.
Here's a text that doesn't feel the same way. This person says, you going to tell me that a single parent has a possibility of going to jail while she or he are working multiple jobs a day just to support their kids, and one rotten apple goes and does something stupid? You're going to blame the parents? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but you got to blame somebody. I mean, I get that, and I feel badly for that person, but let's hope that person who's a single parent working two jobs or three jobs, let's hope that person only has one child and didn't go through the process of having multiple kids. I mean, if you have sex and there's a mistake made and you have a child, we'll end it there. You don't have to have more. I mean, you don't. So do the best you can to parent your children. And there are a lot of single parents out there working more than one job who are doing a good job raising their kids. So I'm sorry that, you know, you have the right and the privilege to have children, but you also have a responsibility to train them. And I hate to put it that way, but it's true. You got to train them to be part of society. And if you don't, that's your problem.
I mean, to be fair to this person's point, it is possible to be a single parent working multiple jobs with multiple kids and having done everything right. You know, if you're married and you have three kids and then he runs off and you're, you know, left holding the bag, you know, that's not really your fault.
Well,
that's not a reflection of your character. No, like, you're a welfare queen or anything like that.
There are going to be some examples that that don't fit the prototype of,
right.
of when we send parents to jail. So I get that. I mean, there are going to be some exceptions to that. But, you know, it's just like the kid that gets that didn't pull the trigger, but he's part of the wrong group. He's mm-hmm. going to jail, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, stuff happens in life, but we've got to have laws. We've got to find a way to just put a lid on youth crime and just the ease with which teenagers have and use guns to settle problems.
I think also, you know, we're not saying that a parent would go to jail, just that the possibility exists. I would expect that the legal system would look at everything on a case-by-case basis and say, well, we can't send this parent to jail.
Exactly.
Because of this one kid. Because they've got two other kids they're trying to raise. I mean, they're doing everything. You know, it's not like...
Well, there are going to be exceptions, but yeah. I don't like that we have been, now that we learn, and we learned this yesterday with, you know, legal experts talking on our news, you know, it is constitutional to throw parents in jail for the behavior of their kids. And, you know, again, the point is, you do not have to have children. Explain to me why you have to have kids. I mean, you don't. It's a choice. And sex can be risky behavior. And part of that risk is bringing a child into the world. And if you do that, you are responsible, in my opinion.
And I'll leave you with this one. Text says, hey, Scoot, coming to the conversation, and may be redundant saying this, but I feel that it's children raising children. And unfortunately, these parents don't have the skills to teach their children because they were not taught that way, or they were too young and they just didn't have time to learn it, kind of thing.
I think that's true. And that's why I think the message needs to be loud and clear. If you're a parent, if you have sex with somebody, if you let somebody bang you and you have sex and a child results from this, guess what? You are responsible. I mean, I know that's not fair, but that's life. And to have a civilized society, parents need to raise their children. You know, animals do it. We're animals. Why can't we do it? And there are just far too many people that enjoy the activity of sex or just let it happen, depending on the situation. And a child results and they're children, but their parents didn't teach them. Their parents are not teaching them about safe sex. I mean, how many of these young people are using condoms? I mean, I know the abortion rate is way down. And I know that among teenagers in general, across the country, all demographics, sexual activity is down. But there's still far too many children having children. And unfortunately, this seems to be customary with some people. And it shouldn't be, because there's no way a child can raise a child. There's no way. You know, and then there are the kids that, you know, that are really tough. They're hard to raise. You can't give up on them. You got to keep trying and keep trying to teach them right from wrong. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakwood Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and this is WWL. God, what an incredible voice, Barbra Streisand. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar today, we wish a happy birthday to Barbra Streisand. She's 83 years old today and still looks really great. This is the song from the movie The Way We Were, movie she starred in with Robert Redford. And I was never, ever tempted to watch this movie, ever. Now, I played this song on the air when I was doing music radio years ago. And I heard the lyrics, and it's like, there's no way. I'm not watching this movie. I mean, it's going to be nothing but sadness. And, you know, we can all find sadness in our lives. I mean, why am I going to go to a movie and see sadness? So there's no way. No way I'm watching a movie like The Way We Were. I'm Scoot. Let's go to St. John Parish. And Emily, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoot. I've been waiting for you to talk about this situation that we have over here in our community. You know, listening to you talk, it makes me sad because my daughter is the mother of a single mother of four children. And I'd like to say that she does a bang-up job. She does a great job. But I often think about my little grandson, who is now in high school. You know, the bully and the peer pressure, all that. What would happen if he got caught up into something like that? And then she couldn't do anything, and she then had to go to jail. What happens to her family? You know, I'm not saying that it's right, wrong. I just don't know to what level. You know, I live in this community, and we have community groups where people are outraged about so many things right now.
Well, give me another example of what people are outraged about in St. John the Baptist
school system. School system. I said I have a grandson who goes, he's in high school, okay? Mm-hmm. He calls his mom. Mom, the bus isn't here to pick us up from practice. He's got a friend in the background says, oh, you can just ride home with us. We got an Uber. What? An Uber? This is a public school. We're sitting kids home. These kids have to buy a ride home from extracurricular activities. That's frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Because we don't have much in our community. You know, Ida took a toll on our community. It tore up a lot of things, and we've lost a lot of residents. Insurance rates have went up. There's so much going on in our community. And, you know, sometimes school is the safe place for kids. You know, I mean, it's a place that they can go to kind of get away, you know, have somewhere to go, have purpose during the day. You know, a lot of people talk about we need community things for the kids to do. But something as simple as the extracurricular activities after school, they struggle with transportation. You know, and that's just something to get them involved. I know I have friends I've read in the community groups. People say, I've asked for help with my child. There's no services. I don't know what to do. People's hands are tied. They don't know what to, where the, and I'm not blaming anybody. I just don't know that there's services out there that help people who things just, sometimes things just get out of control.
Yeah, this is a real life. This is a real life problem, Emily, and I can empathize with you. And if your daughter is a single mom with four kids, is she getting any help from the dad or dads?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, one pays child support, but he lives away, and, you know, the other one, no. But I can tell you this, though, she does everything in her power to make sure the kids stay straight, you know, but it's, everybody's situation is not,
right,
you know, is not as fortunate. You know, sometimes people live in neighborhoods where crime is, yeah, just, you know, it's just an overall thing. And, I, you know, I think that we went in society, we took a turn where we said, you know, we gave kids permission too much to just do as they please. You know, like I think that kids these days have this false sense of, they said, I don't have to do what you say. I don't have to do what,
yeah,
you say.
Yeah.
I never told that to my mom, and my kids never told that to me.
No, I think that is I think that is a problem. There are teenagers who, and preteens even, who feel like they become empowered, and they don't have to listen to their parents. They don't have to listen to their teachers, and that is a problem. Look, Emily,
we went through a society where we said, oh, you don't have to stand up for the pledge if you don't want. You don't have to do that if you don't want. You don't have to do this. So now we don't have rules and laws. We just have suggestions.
Well, we do have rules and laws that they're just not, they're not enforced. And Emily, look, I appreciate it, because what you're talking about is a real world problem. And in the case of your daughter, if one of her kids does something wrong, there's going to be a court case that's going to determine whether or not your daughter should go to jail. And if your daughter doesn't show negligence toward raising her children, and there will be evidence of that, she's not the one who's going to go to jail. The parents who should go to jail are the ones who show total negligence.
Okay. There's another situation, court systems. I don't know. I'm not just talking about in our town. I don't know how it is anywhere else. Dockets for the court system. I hear Newell talking about that sometimes on his show. Dockets, court dockets. Do you know sometimes a person, like a juvenile, can be in trouble today? They may not, their case may not go to court 3 years from now. And guess what? For 3 years, they're out there doing, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know the answer.
That's a problem.
And let me say this. I don't want to be a teacher. That's a rough job. I don't want to be the sheriff. I don't want to be, because those are jobs that, man, I don't know that you can ever do them, please everybody, right? I'm just saying, I don't know what the answer is, but there has to be an answer, because Our community is suffering from this. You know,
well, like, I believe there is an answer, and the answers come from conversations. Emily, I've got to get to a break. I really appreciate the phone call. You know, and this is like a, you know, that's another issue, and Neil Norman knows more about this than I do. But you know, the dockets and the court system being backed up. I mean, you can't arrest somebody and 3 years later they go to trial. You know, I mean, because like Emily says, that kid's out there. And that the kid that did wrong is still out there. And what is going to convince that kid to not do wrong? I mean, the trials, man, when you're 15 years old, 3 years is eternity. You know, you're not even thinking about 3 years from now. All right. There's something else I want to bring up here. What do kids do today? Where do they go? Because this is one of the problems. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. This band is the Iceman Special. I like this band. The Iceman Special. They're on the Gentilly Stage Jazz Fest at 2:10 this afternoon. If you're heading in that direction, check them out. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Oh, man, I love this song. I love this. You know, when I was a young DJ doing a morning show, on a rainy morning, I would always play this song because it just kind of went with the rain. Yeah, this is Billy Paul, and sadly, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar on this day in 2016, Billy Paul passed away, pancreatic cancer. He was 81 years old. This was a big hit in 1972. Me and Mrs. Jones, it won a Grammy Award and also reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. But this song just kind of went with the rain. So, you know, very early in my career, I was trying to match music with the mood of the audience or the mood of the day, and the song just kind of went with the rain. All right, you know, let's extend the conversation about kids and problems and crime with answering the question, what do kids do? I mean, where do they go? Where are there places for kids to go? When you and I were growing up, there were things to do. Let's talk about what we did, and let's talk about where kids go today. All right, I'm Scoot. We're going to come back with more of that. Be thinking about that. We'll talk about that in the next hour here on WWL.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, happy birthday today to Tyson Ritter, lead singer, frontman for All American Rejects, 41 years old today. I'm Scoot on the Air. We've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. In the first hour, we were talking about the idea of throwing parents in jail, arresting them and throwing some parents in jail. Not all parents. There'd be some exceptions. But the idea of throwing parents in jail if their kids commit crimes, I think, is a good idea. And over time, it's going to give an incentive to parents, even young parents, to either not have kids if they're going to have sex, or to actually try to raise their children if they have them. If not, they're going to go to jail. Because a lot of parents don't give a damn about their kids. I mean, that seems so unbelievable to me. But it's true. And we see it. And it's really sad. And it's not fair to the kids. And so if you're going to have sex and a child comes into this world, you better take care of it or you might go to jail. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But that leads to a question about kids today. And somebody was talking last hour about her daughter is a single mom of four kids. And, you know, what if one of her kids goes and gets involved in a group that is up to no good? I mean, this can happen, and this happens to good parents. So another question that I have, and a lot of people have this question, where do kids go? Where do teenagers, where do kids go to play and hang out? When I was young, when I was a teenager, we went to Lakeside Shopping Center. We went to movies. We went to, at one point, we went to Pontchartrain Beach, which doesn't exist any longer. When we were teenagers and old enough to date, we took our cars and we parked at the lakefront and we made out. So where do kids go today? I mean, where do teenagers, when their hormones are starting to rage, where do they go make out? Do they just do it at home because there's so many homes where both parents are working? I mean, I think these are good questions to ask and to get answers to. And you can answer these questions because you know. Now, when I go to Lakeside on a weekend, I see a lot of young people. And I don't know if they're buying or if they're looking or just kind of hanging out there. I don't think there's anything wrong with hanging out at a mall. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I posted a picture that I took with a furry who was just outside of Lakeside Mall. Now, the furry apparently was not allowed to go in Lakeside with the furry head on, but this was a full-blown furry. Well, not the full outfit, but the head of a furry and a tail. And so this young female was a furry, and she was at Lakeside. And I had a brief conversation with her. We talked about it on the show. That's posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and also Scoot on the Air Instagram if you want to check that out and comment. Young people hang out at Lakeside. It's a place to go to be seen and a place to go and see other people. I don't know if that's the same at Oakwood on the West Bank, but it might be. I've been to Oakwood a lot recently. I go to the H&M there at Oakwood sometimes. And there are other things that you can find at Oakwood. There was the plaza at Lake Forest years ago. There was a time when the Esplanade Mall was a hot spot. So, you know, let's talk today about where kids go. What do they do? Where are there places for kids to go? And you can't always send kids to a place where they have to pay because, you know, a lot of kids and their parents can't afford to always pay to go somewhere. But where do kids go today? If you have kids or grandkids, where do they go? Just to hang out and to be seen. If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And I remind you, the draft fest on WWL begins at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I'm excited because this is the beginning of the Saints 2025 season. They may pick a quarterback in the early picks. I hope they do. We don't know what's going on with Derek Carr. Mickey Loomis is saying he wants resolution and clarity. Hell yeah, he wants resolution and clarity. I mean, what's going on with Derek Carr? You know, apparently he's got an injured shoulder. You know, Drew Brees had an injured shoulder. And, you know, we took him in and rehabbed. He rehabbed and everything. And look what Drew Brees did. He was awesome. So I'm not saying his shoulder injury is a deal breaker, but, you know, Derek Carr's not our quarterback. He's not the quarterback for the future, and I don't see Derek Carr as really a part of this team. I don't think he cares about New Orleans. Have we gotten any information? Ian, have we gotten any text messages about Derek Carr? And Ian shaking his head no. Because I asked the question earlier, where is this guy? I don't see him in New Orleans. And I heard that he took off and after the season and went to California. I don't think Derek Carr cares about New Orleans. Now, you can be a great quarterback and not care about the city. I mean, that's possible. And we would love you if you took us to the Super Bowl. But I think it's important for the Saints quarterback to care about New Orleans. We want the quarterback. We want the players to care about our city. And I don't think Derek Carr cares about New Orleans. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But that's the impression that I get. So I don't think he's the quarterback for the future. I don't think he cares about New Orleans. And I would be happy if anything and everything is done to get rid of him and move on from Derek Carr. If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Waveland. And John, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi, Scoot.
Hey, John.
Well, first of all, living in Waveland, the kids have nothing to do here. But that's not what I wanted to comment on. I'm an old man. The thing about the kids bringing guns, you know, having guns, far too often it's their parents' guns.
Yeah.
In that case, I definitely think that the parents should be prosecuted.
Yeah.
You know, if they bought the gun on the street or something, well, that might have been out of the parents' control. But if they got the gun in their nightstand and the kid brings it to school, you go to jail.
Yeah. No, that's an easy decision. If a child commits a crime, there's going to be a court case. There's going to be an investigation, and some parents shouldn't go to jail, but I think some of them should. And in the case of your kid gets your gun, you go to jail. I agree.
I mean, you know, look, if it's a single parent or something, well, maybe they, you know, maybe they spend weekends in jail, or maybe they get an ankle monitor where they can't leave the freaking house, you know.
Yeah.
But some type of
consequence
or whatever, you know, for the parents.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you make them stay at home. They'll spend some time with their children.
Yeah. Which they should have done in the beginning. You know, which I should have done in the beginning, John. I appreciate the call. Of course, you know, when you live around a beach, you know, you can't spend all the time on the beach, and you know, the beach is not always practical in the wintertime. But you know, I had close friends in Gulfport, and you know, we spent a lot of time in Gulfport. And man, we just hung out on the beach. You know, we just hung out and just did stuff. And every time we went there, we had a good time. So. I'd like to know where kids hang out. Where do the children play? Where do they go out? Yeah, I want to talk about that this afternoon. All right, look, I got to get some news taken care of, and then, okay. All right, I'm being told we got to take a break here. So, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls. Also, we've got Scoot's news briefs to take a look at. It's quite a sight. We'll take a look at that a little bit later. And also, be thinking about this: when you were young, where did you hang out? Where did you and your friends hang out? And where do kids hang out today? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Jazz Fest 2025 opened up today at 11 o'clock. John Fogerty is going to be on the festival stage at 5:30 this afternoon. So you've got plenty of time to make it. If you're heading out in that direction, man, John Fogerty, he is an icon. He is a legend. And I'm sure he's going to be playing some CCR stuff, too. We'll be back. I'm Scoot on WWL. All right, so where do the children play? I mean, where do the teenagers go to just hang out? There's a time in your life when you're too old to just stay at home, and you go hang out. When we were teenagers, we hung out. So think about where you hung out. And also, let's talk about where teenagers hang out today. I'm Scoot. The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. We'll get to some of your calls and text messages. Right now, it's time to take a look at Scoot's news briefs. Despite what President Trump is saying, China denies any suggestion it is currently in talks with the U.S. over tariffs.
President Trump and China are offering different views on whether talks are ongoing about U.S. tariffs. Yesterday, after his Treasury chief said there were no formal negotiations over the taxes, the president was asked if he's actively engaging with China.
Everything's active.
This morning, China's foreign ministry denied it, with a spokesman saying, for all he knows, Beijing and Washington are not having any talks on tariffs. Hours later,
they had a meeting this morning, so I can't tell you. It doesn't matter who they is.
The president has said things are going well with China, and he's shown interest in reaching a deal to lower his massive retaliatory tariffs, saying earlier this week he'll be very nice and not play hardball with President Xi Jinping.
We're going to be very good to China. I have a great relationship with President Xi.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Yeah, well, since Donald Trump never lies, then I believe Donald Trump. So obviously there are talks with China. I mean, why would I believe China? Trump doesn't lie. Donald Trump's approval rating on the economy is down to 37%. Not good. With the future of Trump's trade wars still unclear, most Americans are concerned about the economy.
Most Americans are bracing for higher prices as a result of President Trump's tariff policies, according to a new AP NORC poll. As we look at the data, it shows there's widespread anxiety and uncertainty about the economy after Trump imposed and then partially suspended hundreds of billions of dollars a year in new import taxes. The poll found that about 7 in 10 Americans think prices will increase because of Trump's tariff policies. and about half are extremely or very concerned that the economy will go into a recession in the next few months. Trump's base is still standing behind him. Republicans are much less concerned about a potential recession than Democrats or independents. But the findings are alarming for a president who was widely perceived by voters last November as the best candidate to handle the economy and specifically the best candidate to tame inflation. And Americans are much less sure about the possible economic benefits. Only about half think Trump's tariff policies will increase jobs and manufacturing, and relatively few of those think Trump's approach will result in a big increase.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens. But I have to be honest and say that I don't know that Kamala Harris would have had any answers either. And as I've often said, the president doesn't have that much to do with controlling inflation, even though Trump said that before the campaign or during the campaign. All right. Speaking with reporters, President Trump said that he is hopeful that Russia and Ukraine can reach a deal.
I think they both want to make peace. I do believe so. There's a lot of hatred there. There's a lot of very bad blood, a lot of distrust. But I think I hope we're going to get there. For the sake of a lot of young people that are dying. I have my own deadline, and we want it to be fast. And the prime minister is helping us. He wants it to be fast, too. And I think everybody at this time in NATO, they want to see this thing happen. So we have a deadline. And after that, we're going to have a very much different attitude. But I think it has a very good chance of getting done.
Well, we don't know what the deadline is, but we know for sure it wasn't day one. Russia doesn't seem to be ready to end the war after killing 9 in the Ukraine capital yesterday.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's cutting short his official trip to South Africa and returning home after a Russian strike on Kyiv killed at least 9 people and injured more than 70. The Russian attack on Kyiv came hours after weeks of peace negotiations appeared to be coming to a head without an agreement in sight. President Donald Trump lashed out at Zelensky on Wednesday, accusing him of prolonging what he called the killing field by refusing to surrender the Russia-occupied Crimea Peninsula as part of a possible peace deal. Zelensky has repeated many times during the more than 3-year war that recognizing occupied territory as Russian is a red line for his country. I'm Karen Chamas.
You know, I appreciate that Donald Trump did tell Vladimir Putin to stop after this attack. He said he told Putin to just stop. But I don't know that he's going to. State and local election officials are meeting to consider President Trump's executive order to change how elections are run.
The U.S. Election Assistance Commission's Standards Board is holding a public hearing in North Carolina on President Donald Trump's March 25th executive order that directs the independent federal agency to update the National Voter Registration Form to include a proof of citizenship requirement. It also calls for revising guidelines and withholding federal money from any state that accepts ballots after Election Day. Voting rights groups, the Democratic Party, and Democratic officials in 21 states have filed suit, saying Trump is exceeding his authority under the U.S. Constitution and interfering with states' power to set election rules. Trump, who still makes false claims about the 2020 presidential election, says the commission must take appropriate action within 30 days. The ID requirement has caused widespread concern that it will disenfranchise millions of voters who don't have a passport or other documents to prove their citizenship. I'm Donna Warder.
All right. Disgraced movie mogul and certified trash bag Harvey Weinstein is back in court today.
Harvey Weinstein, the one-time Hollywood mogul turned Me Too villain, is back in court for a retrial in his Manhattan rape case. Now, Weinstein was convicted in 2020, but that conviction was overturned last year by New York's highest court, the Court of Appeals, so he was back in court on Wednesday for opening statements. A jury of 7 women and 5 men, the opposite of the jury that convicted him in 2020, heard from a prosecutor who described the allegations of 3 women who say, one of them says Harvey Weinstein raped her in 2013, and then 2 other women say that Weinstein forcibly performed oral sex on them in 2006 in separate alleged incidents.
Was there any bigger supporter of Donald Trump than Sarah Huckabee? Sarah Huckabee was, in the first term, Donald Trump's press secretary. She lied for him day after day after day. She was right there with him, a diehard Trump supporter. Well, now he's giving her the shaft. Because Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is governor of Arkansas, is now trying to repeal this decision to withhold, for Trump withholding disaster relief to help with the tornado damage, the tornadoes in Arkansas. Tornadoes in Arkansas, and Trump wants to withhold the funds. Now, if FEMA is effed up, then you fix FEMA. But you still have the government help out the states, because I don't think the states are prepared to deal with all of this. So just remember this. If you voted for Donald Trump, and God forbid we have a hurricane, and the administration and FEMA are going to give you nothing, how are you going to feel about that? But that's a possibility. All right, that's it for Scoot's News Briefs. Let's get to a few of your calls. Let's go to Jimmy in Gretna. Hey, Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, man. Listen, I know there's a lot going on this weekend with Jazz Fest and Zurich Classic, the NFL Draft. I wanted to invite you and Ian to the Plaquemines Parish Seafood Festival this weekend. It starts tomorrow night. We're going to be grilling some oysters at the Croatian American Society booth, so you guys are always welcome. And I wanted to bring this up. When I heard this story, it definitely reminded me of something you guys would bring up. I talked to Ian about it. Maybe he could look it up, more of the story on this. But there's a young guy, from what I understand. His name is Brandon Currency, kind of like you spell currency, but with an S. He was from what I understand, a principal, a well-liked principal at a Catholic school on the West Bank here, right in Jefferson Parish, at Visitation of Our Lady. And from what I understand, he lost his job because he had a child out of wedlock. I guess, you know. Now, I don't know if he's married to that woman now or married to somebody else or single. All I know is he lost his job as the principal due to having a child out of wedlock. Now, from what I understand, I saw they had a petition going around trying to get him to get his job back. He was very well liked. I wanted to bring that up to you and get your take on that. If Ian has any more as the show progresses on this story, and just from a moral dilemma standpoint, what do you think of this?
Well, I don't know all the details, Jimmy. We're going to look into this because I love that topic. I personally think if somebody has a child out of wedlock, I mean, especially if they're then married to the person or they're doing what they can to take care of the person, I don't think they should lose their job. You know, people have sex. And many of the people who are judging this person for having a child out of wedlock are having sex, too, out of a marriage. They're doing the same thing. They just haven't produced a child yet. So who are they to judge? I mean, they're going through the same activity as this guy did. So again, without knowing any more, I'm just judging it on that. But I think that's a great story to look into.
I did find a change.org petition has just over 3,200 signatures right now demanding that the man be reinstated as principal of a Visitation of Our Lady School. Yeah, they're after the Archdiocese to put this guy back in his position.
Okay, well, let's print out that story, and maybe we can get to that one day next week. Mm-hmm. I think tomorrow, Free for All Friday, it's going to be a good day to talk about the Zurich Classic, and we'll do some golfing jokes, and we'll talk about Jazz Fest and more. We may not get to it tomorrow, but let's plan on talking about that next week. Let's go to Robert on the North Shore. Robert, welcome to WWL.
Hello, Scoot.
Hey, Robert.
You know, I'll tell you, I am a supporter of Trump, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the number one reason is because I just believe that we haven't had leadership in these last 4 years. And now, one thing about Trump, he is good to go. I don't believe everything he says. I don't believe anything that Biden said either. But, you know, what we need here in America is for both parties to get back together. Because right now, we're so divided, it doesn't matter whether Trump is doing something good, the Democrats are going to say it's bad. And if the Democrats are doing something good, the Republicans are going to say it's bad.
I know. That is a problem, Robert. I mean, that is the lowest common denominator of the problem that we have in America. The problem is that each side is supporting their side, but then there are, you know, good people like you and people like me who are saying, you know, you got to come together and work together. Because we've done this in the past, and I think a great example was President Ronald Reagan and Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill. Man, these guys in public, they went after each other. They opposed each other. But ultimately, they came to compromise. And compromise is the new C word that nobody wants to mention.
So the point is like right now, we have America against China. And in all honesty, I believe one of our worst things that we've ever done was sign that NAFTA agreement, you know, the free trade agreement, because it took all of our manufacturing away. And I really do believe, you know, nothing is made here in America. Virtually, I mean, nothing that you could really use. Automobiles is the only one that's making automobiles is Musk, you know, that's purely American. And good grief, I mean, everybody's against him.
But Robert, look, NAFTA was, what, 92, 93? And by that time, there was already a lot of American manufacturing that had gone overseas. And a lot of that was the result of greed on the part of the American people, greed on the part of management, and greed on the part of the American unions. The unions raised the rate to the point where if you want to give a product at the lowest price to the American people, you can't do it here anymore. We got to go somewhere else. So I don't think America realizes how much a role they played in sending jobs overseas.
Oh, I agree. Greed is really a big thing. But what are we going to do now? I mean, we don't build ships here anymore. We don't build anything. And right now, America is teetering. You know, we're spending all of this money on the military, which I believe we need a strong military. But good grief, I mean, you know, America needs some help.
Yeah. Robert, you bring up great problems, and they're problems that we don't, you know, automatically have answers to. But those questions need to be answered. I don't see, and I may be wrong, but I don't see America becoming a manufacturing-based economy again. I don't see that. And I've talked about this before. When we went from an agricultural-based economy to an industrial-based economy, we didn't go backwards. And we've moved from an industrial-based economy to a tech, hospitality, I guess, based economy. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't think we're going to revert back to, you know, being a big manufacturing nation. It's too easy to do it elsewhere, and American greed feeds that. So I don't know what the answers are, but, you know, there are different kinds of jobs that are going to be available. And the people who are in the blue-collar jobs with people in manufacturing, you know, they're going to have to find jobs, and that segment of the population is going to have to find jobs involving technology, involving hospitality, involving some of the things that are some of the industries and businesses that are hiring people today. You know, there are jobs, there's new direction. There's going to be, you know, clean energy is a very, very big field. And there are going to be jobs available in that area as well. And, you know, this is not my area of expertise. So, you know, I can only speak of some of the things that I know about, but there are many, many other things out there. And I don't think we're going to go backwards. And the thinking needs to be thinking forward and finding a way to become part of the economy today. And let's build what we have. There are going to be some factories that are going to come back. And that's going to provide jobs for some communities. And we've got one coming back in Louisiana. And that's all good. But I just don't see a mass exodus from overseas coming back to America with manufacturing. I think that's a dream that Donald Trump has presented that is not going to really come true. All right. We'll come back with more of your comments. The Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2007, U.S. President George W. Bush was denied a luxury suite at the Imperial Hotel in Vienna. Why was this president denied a suite at the Imperial Hotel in Vienna? Well, it's because Mick Jagger was in the suite because the Stones were in town for a tour, and he booked it first. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1976, there were rumors that the Beatles might get back together. Saturday Night Live executive producer Lorne Michaels went on camera on Saturday Night Live and offered the guys $3,000, which was union scale, to to get back together. I had also heard that it went up to $1 million. At the time, watching Saturday Night Live was Paul McCartney and John Lennon. They were watching at John Lennon's New York City apartment, and they considered going over to the show just for fun, but they never did. But in 1976, there were really strong rumors that the Beatles might get back together. And that's why in 1980, when John Lennon was killed, it brought the possibility of the Beatles ever getting back together again to an end. I'm Scoot. Let's go to Carlton in New Orleans. Hey, Carlton, welcome to WWL.
Yeah, well, I get out.
Hey, Carlton, are you with us? All right, let's go back to Carlton. Let's check in with Janice in New Orleans. Janice, you're on WWL.
Yeah, Scoot. Yeah, it was funny that you, I don't mean funny in a funny ha-ha way, I just mean, you know, strange timing there, that you had mentioned that lady, that governor, Sarah Huckabee, because I read the other day that she is literally begging, she is begging Trump to help her state and to help her people that have been victims of those tornadoes. And I think that that's an awfully sad thing that she has to do that. People, let me explain something to you. When Elon said that Social Security, you know, Social Security Administration is a Ponzi scheme and an entitlement, it really opened my eyes. It truly did. And now I am listening to the other side. It doesn't always mean that I'm going to agree with them.
I understand. I get that.
But Trump, well, I don't know if everybody listening to me gets it. They need to try to understand. I am not 100% down with him. And I mean, some people feel, oh, well, if you're not 100% down with him, hell with you, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Now, look at it this way. After Hurricane Katrina, I had to live for quite a while, from February of 06 to August of 08, in a trailer. Would you like to know what it was called? It was called a FEMA trailer.
Yep.
Or I could have been living maybe out of my garage because I couldn't stay in the house and I had to be somewhere. And this man wants to abolish FEMA, and he's saying that Xi Jinping and him are working on a deal. They're not working on a deal.
Well, Janice, you know what's happened here. Do you know what has happened here?
Negotiations are underway.
You know what's happened here? You are becoming more of a radical moderate. And it doesn't mean that you hate everything Trump represents. It doesn't mean you're not a Republican.
No.
It just means that you're not so one-sided like you once were, because you see some things that are real life truths that are not good. And if FEMA is messed up, try to fix FEMA. But look, if Arkansas is a very red state. A lot of Trump supporters, a lot of people who voted for Trump, are hurt by this idea that they're not going to get money from the government. And, you know, I can't think of anybody who was closer to Donald Trump than Sarah Huckabee Sanders, because as a White House spokesperson, she was very close to the president. And now she's begging for money.
Well, it's a pity, and she shouldn't have to beg. And everybody out there, I'm asking you, please try to look at things with an open mind.
Janice,
there are things about Trump I like, but right now, in this moment, there's something he wants to do with the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration app, cutting people and making cuts and stuff. We need those people. Look how many times you hear, oh, there's been a recall of this at the store, and a recall of this, and a recall of that. We need these people. The things he's doing are just not good. This is not the Donald Trump that I voted for. I'm sorry, but I mean, I wasn't down with anything Kamala said.
Janice, I understand. Hey, I've got to get you a break here. Thanks for your call. And really, Janice is a changed woman, and some things have opened her eyes. And a lot of Republicans, politicians and voters, a lot of Republicans have opened their eyes. And Donald Trump is not the person they thought he was going to be. It's not their fault. He lied to them. They believe the lies, but he's not what they thought they were getting. All right. Jazz Fest opened up at 11 o'clock today. It's going on right now. Tomorrow on the Gentilly stage, 5:45. Cheap Trick. And let me tell you, Robin Zander, last time I heard these guys, Robin Zander is still hitting the high notes. They sound and look great. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. This is a really sad note on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar. It was on this day in 1975. Pete Ham, who was a lead singer and primary songwriter for the band Badfinger, this is one of their hits, he hanged himself at his London home. Guess how old he was? 27. He was part of Club 27, the rockers that died at the age of 27 because of drugs or alcohol or suicide. The album that they had just put out was not doing well. He was losing income, and he committed suicide, left behind a pregnant girlfriend who gave birth to their daughter the following month. Suicide is just really a very, very selfish act. All right, I'm Scoot. We've got a lot to cover coming up in the next hour, and get ready for Draft Fest. Begins at 4 o'clock this afternoon here on WWL. I'm Scoot. If you're on hold, hang on. More of your calls, more of your texts coming up next. All right, we're almost to the weekend, Thursday afternoon on WWL. John Fogerty will be on stage later today at 5:30 at Jazz Fest 2025. It opened up today, and John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival will be there. I want to tell you how much of an icon John Fogerty is. You might not know this, but there were a lot of bands that were holding off on signing up to do Woodstock. They weren't sure about whether or not it was the right thing to do. And many of the bands, these top bands, were waiting to see what John Fogerty and Creedence Clearwater Revival would do. If Creedence Clearwater Revival signed on to do Woodstock, then all these other bands would too. And apparently that's what happened. And he is still an icon today. And again, you still got time to get there. Maybe you're heading in that direction right now. He'll be on the Gentilly stage. The festival stage. Yeah, be on the festival stage at 5:30 today. Posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and Instagram is the topic of free speech, and it's titled The Serious Threat to Freedom of Speech in America. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, we talked about this on the show yesterday, if you're just hanging around talking to your friends or people at work and, you've got freedom of speech and, you could bash the president, you can praise the president, you can do whatever you want. You can say pretty much what you want about politics and about the president. Or about the past president, you could have bashed Biden. Maybe you're still bashing Biden like Trump is doing. You can do all of that. And you might not think that freedom of speech is really threatened. But trust me, it is. And that's why I wrote a blog that is posted. It's still on WWL.com, but it's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and Instagram. And you can read it and comment on it. Also with that is a conversation I had yesterday with a law professor at Tulane University, Professor Stephen Griffin. And it was a really great, interesting conversation about freedom of speech and why I think, and from my perspective in the media, why I think and fear that freedom of speech is really being threatened. And you might not feel it on your level, but freedom of speech is being threatened. And I've talked about that on the Facebook page. Hey, let me mention the WWL Jazz Fest code word of the day. The code word of the day is Gentilly. Gentilly. It's where it is. It's also the name of one of the stages, Gentilly. So what you need to do right now, and you will need this word. You can use a lot of other words, but it's not going to work. Unless you use the word Gentilly, you're not going to be eligible. So use the word Gentilly right now. Go to our website, WWL.com/contest with an S, and use the word Gentilly to enter to win tickets to next weekend's Jazz Fest. Lenny Kravitz will be there, Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Cage the Elephant, Santana, Patti LaBelle, Trombone Shorty, and many others. It's from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. All right. Before we get back to your calls, let's go to Ian Hoke with some of your text messages.
Got a bunch of texts about Derek Carr I've been parked on for a little while. Some of these are kind of conspiratorial.
Really? So, something's going on. Derek Carr, to me, has never been the answer. He's had a few nice moments on the field with the Saints, but he ain't our answer to the future. And I think he had such a relationship with Dennis Allen that as long as Dennis Allen was around, Derek Carr was going to be around. And I don't like that. I didn't like it at the time, and I thought Derek Carr felt like he was guaranteed a position because of Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen out, I think Derek Carr should be out. And now he's got this shoulder injury that Mickey Loomis doesn't even seem to know that much about. And while we have a history of a quarterback with a shoulder injury that we took in and did really well, Drew Brees, I just don't think Derek Carr gives a damn about New Orleans. I don't see him here. I don't hear about him being here. And I don't think he cares about the city. I heard that he took his family after the season and went to California, and that's where he is. So I don't think he cares about the city, and I don't think he cares about being here. And I don't care if he doesn't care, because I don't think he's the right quarterback for us.
Text says, the shoulder injury is a lie. Derek Carr doesn't want to be a bridge quarterback. He doesn't want to play for the Saints, and he's holding out to force them to cut him. He wanted to be traded. The Saints said no and paid him more money than most people have ever seen in their lives, expecting him to be a professional. And now he's trying to force his way out because nobody's going to make him do something he doesn't want to do.
Well, I don't know how much more money he's going to make. I mean, the Saints are paying him well. I don't think he's that great. So how much more money is he going to make? I'm suspicious about this whole thing, too.
We had mentioned, you got to be in the market for a running quarterback if you want to be successful in this league, right?
I think, yeah.
Here's a text that says, the 2024 NFL season saw more run plays on average than the last 5 years. The Philadelphia Eagles had 51% run plays, and they won a Super Bowl. It is not a pass league. It is a copycat league.
Well, they also had what? A running quarterback. So some of those runs were from the quarterback. And I don't think you go back. I mean, there was a time when the NFL was a running league. Then it became a passing league. And I think the NFL has evolved into a league that is geared for and made for, because of the evolution of the league and the game, I think the evolution of the game leads to having a running quarterback, and the Saints have not had a running quarterback. I mean, somebody called earlier and said Aaron Brooks was. I wasn't here during those years, so I didn't have as close a relationship with paying attention to the team as I did then. I talked about Archie Manning was a kind of a running quarterback. I mean, that guy could run. Spencer Rattler can run the ball. And I think he deserves a great shot at being a starting quarterback. But I think the Saints need to look for a running quarterback. And when you practice against a running quarterback, you do better with your defense in going up against running quarterbacks. And if I'm not mistaken, statistics show the Saints have not done that well in general against running quarterbacks.
Couple more here. This texter agrees with you. Says Derek Carr was AWOL during the Super Bowl, and New Orleans was instead represented by Drew Brees, Sean Payton, and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't care about the city and doesn't show any signs of caring about the city. And I have asked if there's anybody that knows any information about Derek Carr actually showing that he cares about the city that I'm not privileged to, then let me know, and we really haven't heard anything.
It seemed innocent enough at the time, but now in retrospect, maybe it matters that his first meal here was Chipotle. Just, you know.
Interesting.
Interesting. Also got a couple texts here about Elon Musk, who we spoke about, and how we haven't kind of really seen him with President Trump lately or haven't seen him at the White House. He seems like he's on his way out. Here's a text that says, Musk wanted to destroy the evidence against him. He did that, and now he's gone. It's pretty simple.
Well, I think, you know, personally, I think Musk wanted more than that. I think he wanted more of the spotlight. But you know, it was a dream if he thought Donald Trump was going to give that up. I know he gave a lot of money to Donald Trump to help him get elected. And I think that's probably a factor. He may have gone in and was able to do some things to help him out legally. But I still think Elon Musk loved the spotlight. You know, rich people sometimes want more than money. They want fame. They want publicity. They want to be celebrities. And it's not enough just to have money. They want to be celebrities. But money doesn't always buy you status, that kind of status. But sometimes it does. And in this case, Elon Musk was, I think, going for the spotlight.
And I'll leave you with this one. This text says, I saw a Cybertruck uptown that said Toyota across the back.
That's funny.
This is a thing they're doing now. They've got little workshops. I don't know if they're doing them here in New Orleans, but I hear about them in other cities around. They call it a de-badging, where it's like a community group. You know, it's like a car wash or something where someone will...
Okay.
They'll go set up at an intersection with like a heat gun and some like goo gone or something like that, and de-brand your Tesla.
But is it done with the consent of the Tesla?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is Tesla and Cybertruck drivers who don't want anything to do with Elon Musk,
okay,
but like the car and don't want the, you know, so they're insulating themselves from the political blowback by removing all the branding from their cars.
That's
and hoping
funny.
That, you know, then some idiot won't carve a swastika in it or whatever.
Yeah, and I was reading, I think yesterday I mentioned it, that Tesla's stock was down 71%. I mean, the Cybertruck looks like a tank, and that's exactly what's been happening to their numbers.
Shame.
They have been tanking. Yeah, but, you know, look, if somebody owns a Cybertruck or a Tesla, you know, leave that alone. You know, they're you know, don't take it out on them. If you don't like Elon Musk, that's cool, but don't take it out on them. And nobody should be attacking the dealerships or attacking the cars or anything like that. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And if you're on hold, hang on. I'll come back with more of your comments. And we'll talk a little bit more about maybe the Saints draft. And the draft begins today at 4 o'clock. That's when our coverage begins. All right, this is Kacey Musgrave. And she's going to be at Jazz Fest tomorrow on the festival stage at 5:30. I'm Scoot on the air. Yeah, Festival 2025 is underway right now. And we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 2003 during the Gulf War that the Dixie Chicks launched a publicity campaign to explain their real position after the controversial statement made by Natalie Maines regarding the Iraq War. You might remember what she said. She was at a concert in London, so she was on foreign soil, and she said, quote, just so you know, we're on the good side with y'all. We do not want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the President of the United States is from Texas. And she was referring to George W. Bush. Well, they were called traitors, Saddam's angels, the Dixie sluts. They were bashed for saying what they said. Even if she thought that, she shouldn't have said it. And she shouldn't have said it on foreign soil. I don't think that was the right time to bring that up. And I honestly believe that, you know, when it comes to something like that, you know, you just let it go. I mean, the fans are there to hear you perform, not hear you make political statements. So while they're free to do that, I thought that was a mistake. But this is the day that they started their publicity campaign. Let me give you some comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. The topic is freedom of speech and the attack on freedom of speech. And here's an interesting series. This starts off with Cheryl saying, we were censored during the Biden administration, or did you forget that? Then Susan responds to Cheryl, so what are you saying? It's okay to attack freedom of speech. Then Tim comes in and makes a comment to Susan. She's saying the liberals are hypocrites when it comes to this issue. And then Bob chimes in and says to Cheryl, so you were personally censored when Biden was president? Then Donald says to Bob, yes, the Biden administration pressured social media platforms to restrict speech, which contradicted their message and prevented differing opinions. And then Bob says to Donald, a social media platform can censor who they want, but the government can't. So that's an interesting exchange there. You can still comment there, and you can, you know, read the blog and also listen to the conversation with a law professor from Tulane, Professor Stephen Griffin, about freedom of speech, because it is under attack in America. And in the business that I'm in, I pay attention to this, and I think it's really, really scary what's happening. And so I'm bringing this up. I've brought it up before, but I'm going to continue to bring this up because it is an issue. Now, When it comes to the Biden administration, Ian, you can confirm or back me up on this or tell me what was not true. It seems like the Biden administration did not want false information out that was coming from many Republicans and many conservative posters. There was false information, and they wanted to stop the fake news. So, yeah, stopping fake news doesn't mean that it's censorship. It means it's cleaning up what is true and what is not true. And then also, if I'm not mistaken, during the Biden administration, they may have pleaded with these social media platforms to censor some conservative speech. But I don't know how much they really censored.
Yeah, we may never know that, because the social media giants, I think, felt, they regretted that they didn't push back harder. But we don't really know how much they pushed back at all, or how much content from their networks they actually ended up blocking or downranking or whatever. But the distinction here that it is important is that the Biden administration did not go to Facebook and Meta and Twitter and everybody and say, we want you to delete content that says, like, maybe we should have a stronger army or fewer taxes or welfare reform or just like generic conservative viewpoints. It was very specifically COVID-19 disinformation about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, these other sort of like fake cures that people were, you know, thinking would prevent them from getting COVID or help them if they got it. And it didn't work out that way. And some of those people died. It was the COVID-19 misinformation, and it was an election denialism specifically that they wanted, you know, muted or removed from those sites. I'm not sure.
Now, those sites are private companies. They can censor what they want to censor. An administration like the Biden administration can say, we don't want you to do this. We want you to cut back on this. I mean, is that censorship? Well, Fox News censors the news every day. Conservative radio talk show hosts censor the news every day. They don't tell you a lot of things, and some of the things that they tell you are not true. But a private company or a business like Fox News, they have every right to censor the news and give you what they think you want. And so the Biden administration, and again, the problem is that there are right-wing radical conservatives who are caught up in this conservative echo chamber, and they believe what they're told. In this case, they were misled, they were brainwashed, and it's continuing today. There's really no strong evidence that the Biden administration really did put the screws to the social media platforms when it comes to opinions. Now, when it comes to misinformation, and election denial is misinformation, it is a fact. It is a fact in our society that the election was not stolen. You can believe otherwise, but you're going against a fact. And we accept a fact as the truth. And when you put things together from the court cases and everything that went on, it is a fact. For example, you can believe that OJ was guilty, but it is a fact that he was found not guilty. You can believe what you want, but that's a fact. And so the courts determine what is a fact to some degree. So there's a lot of misinformation about the Biden administration censoring people. And I don't think anybody listening to this show was not able to post what they wanted to post, unless it was an outright lie. And you should not be able to post outright lies. Those things should be censored from social media in the same way that lies are supposed to be censored from the mainstream media and from the cable news channels as well.
I would offer, I think that it's more important to focus on what I would consider the need to suppress dangerous speech. You know, COVID-19 misinformation is dangerous. That could get people killed. And election denialism is dangerous. That is a dangerous thing to be spreading on your platform, because it reduces trust in our electoral system. And the end consequence of that is that we lose the whole thing. If nobody believes that we have free, fair, secure elections in this country, and you don't believe in the result, and you're not willing to accept it when you lose, you're only willing to accept elections that you win, we're cooked. Country's cooked.
Right. And what's different with what Donald Trump is trying to do is he is seeking revenge against people who are posting stories, airing stories that are negative toward him. It's an opinion. And we can't have a president going after news outlets, trying to threaten them with the revoking of their license because they're saying something that the president doesn't agree with. You know, Donald Trump with this suit against 60 Minutes, I mean, not 60 Minutes, the suit against, I think it was 60 Minutes, but it was CBS. It was about the airing of an edited interview with Kamala Harris. Donald Trump's interviews on Fox News were edited. They were edited to make Donald Trump look good because there were times that Fox News, you could read stories about, there were times that Fox News wanted to keep Donald Trump from looking like a buffoon when he was just going off on a rant. And so they didn't include that in the interview. They edited it to make him look good. And so if CBS did the same thing, well, what's the difference? There's no difference. And nobody can really say factually that they couldn't say or post what they wanted to post as long as it was an opinion during the Biden administration. But again, there are a few people, and they're small in number, these right-wing radicals, and they're getting even smaller in number, which I think is a good thing. They are still up in arms. Well, yeah, we were censored during the Biden administration. Well, no, you weren't. You think you might have been, but you weren't. And you might not have been, and so you're speaking for everybody else, but nobody else can really prove that they were censored. I mean, who was really actually censored that you could prove you were censored? So again, it was about misinformation. And misinformation does not belong in social media. Misinformation does not belong in the news anywhere. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So what do you think about this story? Pete Hegseth says it's totally false, but CBS News has information that Pete Hegseth spent $40,000 to redo a room at the Pentagon to turn it into a makeup room for him. Now, remember, he was one of the pretty boy talking heads on Fox News before he became defense secretary. So was it right for him to turn a room into a makeup room? I don't know. I mean, maybe. But I mean, at least he says it's fake news. But CBS is standing by their story. They've got information that they even cut back on it because they wanted to spend more. But they cut back on it and limited it to $40,000. Apparently, it was a green room at the Pentagon and it was turned into a makeup room for Pete Hegseth. I wonder if they had like a wine cooler. I wonder if they had an area for bottles. I don't know. Anyway, you know, I don't know whether it's true or not. I would believe CBS over Pete Hegseth for a number of different reasons, but, you know, we choose who we believe in. Also, there's a new poll out that shows that Donald Trump is down under 50% with all demographics down to 45% with Hispanics. So a lot of people are coming to new realizations about President Trump. All right, there's a conversation about Jelly Roll, the country artist. I love this guy. I love him. I love him. I love this song. The song is called Liar. Jelly Roll was in prison in Tennessee, and there's a lot of talk going on about giving him a pardon because of all the good things that he's done, because of all that he's done to try to help people who don't end up going to prison. He's really done a lot of community work. He's done a lot of concerts in prisons. And he does, I mean, he's got tattoos on his face, and he's a big guy, and he looks very menacing. But he really has a very interesting insight into life, and he has done a lot to try to send out a positive message. Is that worthy of a pardon? Well, that's a conversation going on, and we'll follow that story. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 2007, Sheryl Crow said that a ban on using too much toilet paper should be introduced to help the environment. Sheryl Crow basically commenting basically what we saw in that episode of Seinfeld. One square. That's all you get. One square. Or maybe two if it's, you know, number two. Man, I don't know. There are days that you just can't get by with one square. There are days you can't get by with two squares. I mean, there are days, depending on what you ate, there are days that it, you know, takes a little bit. She made these she's made these comments on a website after touring the United States, on a biodiesel-powered bus to raise awareness of climate change. And she was convinced that we need to get down to one square when it comes to using the restroom. One square toilet paper. I don't think so. Let's go to Kane. Kane, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, when y'all were talking about NAFTA when I first turned on the radio, people got to understand, even if Trump can force American foreign countries to pay the same rate of $20 an hour to their employees, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is our overpriced medical industry that really don't cure anybody. I mean, when a company has to pay for a family of four and it's costing them $6,000 to $8,000 additional dollars a month, time 100,000 employees, that's worth going overseas for.
Yeah.
And until people realize that, that's the one of the huge problems with the American healthcare, with doing business in this country, is being forced to provide healthcare for all your employees. Yeah. And in foreign countries, they got socialized medicine; nobody pays for nothing. Yeah.
No, it's a factor, Kane. You're right. It's a factor there. You know, there are a lot of things, not just one thing, that drove jobs overseas. And the bottom line is American greed. The bottom line is, and one thing that Kane points out is that it's about the expense of providing for employees and the unions. American unions played a role in that.
The unions are another big expense. That, like I said, it just doesn't exist over there.
Yeah.
And another thing people got to understand, they might want Americans to go to work, and I do too. But are they willing to pay an extra $500 a TV for that to happen? Think they're going to get
well,
a little
no,
style?
No, I don't think so.
My opinion.
And that's why it's partly the fault of the American people. You know, you want the best product at the lowest possible price. And are you going to pay $500 more for a television made in America over a TV that was made somewhere else? And Americans have answered that question. And the answer is no. They're not going to pay that much more for a TV. They're not going to pay $200 more for a TV. They're going to get the best TV they can find at the lowest price, even if it's not made in America. As much as maybe we should buy American products, no matter what, we don't. From Avondale, John, you're on WWL.
Taking my call. You were talking about is free speech under attack a bit ago, and I was curious about when you thought the attack began.
Well, I was critical of President Obama years ago when he tried to pressure Fox News, and he even made suggestions about Fox News cutting back on the bias. I also remember there was a time when Richard Nixon was very, very heavy-handed when it came to trying to control the message of the networks. One of the sketchy things about all of this is the Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, regulates the media, but it does not control content. And some people believe that maybe it has the power to control content, but it doesn't. And that was part of the conversation I had with the professor, Professor Griffin from Tulane, that is posted on our website and also on my social media pages.
You know, I think the idea of kind of putting pressure on free speech has always been looked at as a political issue. But it seems maybe 5, 6, 7, I don't remember exactly when, it seemed like more public conversations took place with just average citizens about what we could say or what we could.
See, I don't know what citizens can't say when it comes to political opinions. I think citizens can pretty much say whatever they want.
I'm not talking about necessarily politics. People didn't like what you said.
Oh, yeah.
when did the term cancel culture come up? I don't remember exactly.
A few years ago. I mean, that's a good point. In other words, there was pressure on you, or they would put pressure. People would put pressure on a company for saying something that they disagreed with. That's a form of attacking free speech.
I agree, but here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about it. They have the right to say that they don't like what we're saying. And so if we try to shut them down for saying we don't like that, then we're attacking free speech. It's kind of it's a double-edged sword. And you just have to be a big boy or a big girl and go, okay, fine, and go about your business.
What I find extremely disturbing right now, John, is the course that President Trump is taking. And he has already indicated that he doesn't want to listen to the courts. I hope he does. But if he doesn't listen to the courts, if he doesn't follow the rule of law, and he starts to threaten opinion content that he doesn't agree with, when it comes to trying to control the media, I mean, this is the definition of a dictatorship. And we're so blessed in America that we have media that is not controlled or owned by the government. It's different from other countries where the government, and especially in a dictatorship, they own the media. So they control the message. That's not the case here in America. And so when a president gets close to talking about, you know, owning the media, starts talking about suppressing opinions that he disagrees with, that gets really personal for me. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar on this day in 1961, it was just 2 weeks after he appeared on Dick Clark's American Bandstand, Del Shannon had the number one hit in America on the Billboard chart. It was this song called Runaway. And he finally was able, because of the success of this song, Del Shannon was finally able to quit his job as a carpet salesman. So I guess when this song took off, he was laying a lot more than carpet. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.